Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, you're listening to another Thursday night Spiritual Connections radio show. As always, if you want to find out about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. So I want to start by thanking everybody for all the great feedback we've been getting on the shows, and a lot of great feedback about how we've changed the website around, so now you can go and see the archive links for each of the past radio shows are listed. Also, we have a page that shows all our different radio hosts and co-hosts and everything like that. So talking about hosts, let me go ahead and introduce Pam. Hey, Pam.
Hi, everyone. Nice to see you again, Mark, or hear from you again.
Yeah, as you know, I'm taking a journey across the country right now. I started in Florida, and I've been moving state by state. Right now, I am broadcasting live from Asheville, North Carolina. So I'll be here for the art festival this weekend and just kind of enjoying the travels as I move my way up the coast, heading towards Newport, Rhode Island. So it's been great to kind of visit with a number of people. And, of course, I always have so much fun doing the radio show while I'm on the road. Of course, cutting it a little bit close today with a little glitch with the laptop, but it's all part of the fun. So go ahead, Pam.
Well, I just want to say that I love Asheville. It's one of my favorite places. And you're visiting one of my good friends, Randy Rahm, who's been on this show before, talking about stones, and she's a wonderful energy. Tell her I said hello. Tonight, we have... We had a small snag before everything started, so normally we talk to our guests for a few minutes before they come on the air, and tonight, because of the snag, we didn't get a chance to do that. But I can't wait to hear what she says, because she has written a book. This is Penny Pierce tonight, the author of a book called A Leap of Perception. A Leap of Perception. Let me say that again. And this ought to be a fascinating show. So let's get right to it. Penny, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being on the show tonight. I'm sorry it was so rushed when we began.
No problem.
Yeah, it's been great to have you on. I've been enjoying all your books and everything. So, you know, I know we did a lot of back and forth to schedule everything, and it's great to, I know with your busy schedule, it's great to be able to get you on the show this evening.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Well, good. It's our pleasure, too. So let's start talking about what it is that you do. I know you're an author. Tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved in your work. Let's start there, at the beginning.
Okay. I started quite a while ago. I was a corporate art director and graphic designer for a long time. And then I was kind of simultaneously interested in all the mysteries. So I did a lot of reading and didn't think I had any particular ability myself. But I ended up getting a job in Northern California. Mm-hmm. And it was here, just as the kind of human potential movement was starting, that I landed. And everything was, there were so many interesting classes and things. And there were classes in clairvoyance development, which I thought was fascinating. I had been very visual as a designer, and I just took those classes, and it turned out I was really good at doing readings and getting symbols that actually meant something for people. That got me hooked, and I just kept on reading and reading and reading and learning and weaving more things in, and I got involved with shamanism, and I ended up working in Japan for 20-some years on and off, and worked with Stanford Research Institute here in Northern California. So it was an interesting sort of fairly rapid, I think, remembering of old knowledge in some ways. And it centered around the development of intuition. And I worked with a group here in the Bay Area, in San Francisco area, that was called the Center for Applied Intuition, where we did a lot of research on applying intuition to scientific problems and so forth. And that grew and grew. And then my development in terms of intuition also deepened. And I started writing, I've written several books on dreams, and also then the second, I wrote The Intuitive Way, which was my first book. It's a course on intuition development. And then a couple other books came along, and then Frequency, I think when I did that in 2009. And that really was kind of an advanced intuitive way. It was about the idea that the world is accelerating, and so we're seeing ourselves as energy beings, as vibration, you know, and that we could work with energy and consciousness to change our lives. So that went for a few years, and now the new one is called Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention. And it's all about the new perception that's coming in with transformation, or with what I call the intuition age. So that's a little history of it.
How fascinating. This Leap of Perception, when is it coming out, or has it come out already?
It came out the end of May.
Okay, so just recently.
Mm-hmm.
And can we say that the Leap of Perception is relative to what many people are calling the sixth sense, or the idea that our intuition, it has become another sense that we can draw from and use in the future from now on?
I'd say it's a lot more than a sense. It is a whole new kind of perception. And the whole book is about that we're moving from what I call old perception into new perception. Old perception mm-hmm. is based on really the left brain dominance that we have in our culture, where everything mm-hmm. is compartmentalized and we see the world as separate from us. And it generates a lot of fear and a lot of willpower and then a lot of exhaustion. Whereas the new perception is spherical, and everything's in the present moment. There's no future or past anymore. It's all in the present moment at a different frequency of the present moment. So what's going to happen is that as this perception changes because of the acceleration on the planet, because we just can't process information in the old linear way anymore.
Right.
So that as this keeps on accelerating, we're going to make this leap into direct knowing, or intuitive knowing, actually, but it's more than that now, where everything's all at once in the present moment, and we know everything without compartmentalizing it. And the world will function differently. It's going to be incredibly fast and effortless, and, you know, very much about the use of attention to make things happen.
Okay. So let me reiterate, if I can summarize what you just said. Instead of intuition or this leap of perception being another perception, what it actually is a complete evolution of how we perceive life.
Yes, it is a new perception, and it will create a totally new perception of life, which will cause reality to function differently. And it will cause us to see ourselves and know ourselves as a new kind of human being, that we will be much more transparent in many ways. You know, the fear really, really kind of dumbs us down, you know, and makes us cloudy and opaque. And as we start to get rid of that fear and allow the soul's energy to come through, we're going to, you know, everything will translate from the non-physical into the physical world very fast. Less interference in the way.
I noticed that one of the things that we were going to want to talk to you about today was, you know, what is the challenge of the myths they have about intuition?
The myths about intuition?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I suppose some people think that you have to be born special in order to have it, but I think a lot of people confuse intuition with psychic ability. And I think psychic ability is one small component of direct knowing, intuitive knowing, where it is actually very natural to know things, you know, easily, whether they be past, future. They're all now in the present moment. So there's no difficulty with, there is no such thing really as precognition. It's all just higher sense of knowing. So a lot of the old models of the supernatural abilities and psychic abilities that are all woo-woo, you know, are, it's going away because it's becoming so much more normal now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't have to really, people used to think that to be psychic, you had to have some dramatic thing happen to you or be born, you know, with a call over your head when, you know, or something. But everybody's intuitive, and it's a matter, you can develop it, you know. So those are some of the myths.
I know earlier you kind of mentioned about some of the work that you did in Japan. How did that influence you?
It was very powerful for me because the Asian cultures are wired up so differently than we are in the West that they're very merged together into a unified field of consciousness, and it, there's a lot of harmony in that. So that when you stand out and act differently, then the whole group will orient toward you so that there, it maintains harmony. And, you know, it's kind of, they have the saying, the nail that stands up gets pounded down. And and at first it was really hard for me with my American sensibility. And then I kind of fell in and got swallowed up by it and reemerged almost as though I were a Japanese person. And I could feel how it works so elegantly and how no one wants to have anyone else lose face because everyone can feel it. You know, it's all so merged. So there's a very different kind of compassionate behavior there. So I think that it helped me balance my left and right brain a lot to understand a reality that's 180 degrees different from the way we know things to work.
That's fascinating. Tell me something, Penny. This new perception that you've been talking about, this leap of perception, do you see it coming on in a slow, steady progression, or do you think one day we'll wake up and will really be at a completely different level? Do you have any insight into that movement?
Yeah, it's been a very, very long, gradual progression. In fact, the Mayans have tracked the acceleration of time for something like 64 billion years with ages that each succeeding age is 20 times faster than the one before it, finally completing at the end of 2011, actually, where the last cycle was 1 year in length. And so it's not a new concept, you know, this kind of acceleration. And it is not an all-at-once thing. It's a gradual thing, but it seems to be accelerating really amazingly fast right now to the point where I think probably whatever that 12-21-12 was in the end of 2012, I have a sense that energetically, maybe in the energy world, time did stop. The whole idea of projecting the mind into a future is just doesn't work anymore. And this year, we're starting to actually integrate that whole experience of everything being simultaneously in the present moment. and what that means, because this year it's really, really the floodgates are opened and things are moving very fast.
I see. So how many have you written? You've written three different books over the years, Tony?
Six books.
Six books. Mm-hmm. Can you tell the audience, are they still all in print? Can you give us a list of what books you've written? And basically, you mentioned three of them.
The Intuitive Way. Yeah, The Intuitive Way is the first book, and it's still selling, and it's in 30 languages. It's a course on intuition development. After that, I wrote something called The Present Moment, which is a day book on clarity and intuition. And after that, I wrote two dummies books, wrote Dreams for Dummies and Dream Dictionary for Dummies. And after that, I wrote Frequency and then Leap of Perception.
Okay. Well, let's talk about dreams for a minute. I think so many people are interested in their dreams. And a woman was telling me this afternoon, actually in a reading, that she was visited by her father in a dream last night. Do you think that everything is an analogy, like in a dream, for example? Do you think it's all an analogy? Or do you believe that perhaps spirits or energies that have passed on really do come and visit us when we're sleeping because we don't have that ego in the way?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter, and that when we dream, it's like we let go of our fixation on physical life, you know, on three-dimensional reality, and we let go of that and start to remember ourselves in our non-physical worlds, which there are quite a few different frequencies there that we travel around in and play in, different realms, different dimensions, if you want to call it that. And we come and go and expand and contract through those realms. So I think dreams are the memory or the, you know, the way we become conscious of what we're doing in those other dimensions. So I think all of it is quite real. So if she was being visited, so-called, by her father, it's that her frequency was able to somehow match his frequency of where he's living and existing right now so that they could communicate telepathically. You know, so, yes, I think it's absolutely real.
Fascinating. Okay, thank you so much.
Now, yeah.
There's different kinds of dreams. Can we talk about this for just a minute? Because I know so many people are interested in dreaming. There's different kinds of dreams, it seems to me. For example, there's the kind of dream where you're kind of in this soup of reality where you look at, and it's you're in the desert, and then you turn around and there's your third grade teacher, and then there's a door, and then you're in a car, and you just keep moving around. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Are those dreams where you're processing something, or are you really in this soup?
Well, I think that we are. There's a category of dreams that just is about daily processing, where you may take your homework into the dream world with you and solve a problem or something you've been worrying about. You'll take it there and work on it at those higher levels.
Right.
There's also a level where you're working out emotional issues for yourself, and often those dreams will have symbolization that has to do with, you know, like raging streams or, you know, things that have emotional content to them. Flying, falling can often be symbolizations of rising to a higher dimension or coming down from a higher dimension, just changing levels or frequencies. But, you know, dreams often are about evolution, your own personal process of evolution and whatever it is that you're working on right now. And that may mean that you're dealing with some subconscious block because you need to get rid of it. So you're trying to bring it up to the surface so you can see it. You know, it may be that suddenly you're out in a very high dimension and you're seeing a large amount of time and space, and in your moment out there, it's all in the present moment. But when you come back to your body, it may happen in the future. You know, but in the dream world, it's all in the present time. you know.
I see.
So, yeah.
So I have another question about this. The number one, do you believe that there that sometimes we experience parallel lives when we're dreaming? And the second question is, when you fall into a dream or fall into awakeness, does your frequency change?
Yes, the frequency totally shifts. It's just like when you space out during the day or daydream. You change your vibration from a very concentrated, maybe lower frequency, to a much higher one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would meditate, it might be even higher. You know, you're accessing kinds of knowledge, and they're all at different vibrations. You know, so we do that all day long and all night long, constantly, expanding and contracting and traveling and exploring with our attention.
Okay. Now, I've read that we actually have all the different brain waves active at the same time, that we used to believe that, okay, we're in delta, we're in theta, we're wherever, you know, we move around, or we just, when we're awake, we're in one brain wave, when we go to sleep, we're in another brain wave. And now they're beginning to see that we have access to all of those brain waves at any moment. Do we access those brain waves? Like, for example, when you're daydreaming or when you're meditating, you can change your brain wave state. And does that change your frequency?
It's the same thing, yes. You definitely can. And just by placing your attention on different kinds of feeling states and different kinds
mm-hmm.
of thoughts, immediately your frequency adjusts to match that. It's just like if you get around somebody who's a victim or is complaining and you can't get away from them, you know, you'll often match them in frequency and your vibration will go down and then you don't feel so good afterwards.
I see. Now, can we go back to a question that I asked earlier and I kind of mixed it in with several questions, so we didn't cover it yet, so I want to go back to that. Do you believe that in dreams we sometimes visit parallel lives?
I think in dreams, in the dream world, or even in meditation, we have access to every lifetime that we've ever lived, to every, it could be parallel, it could be past, it could be future, because in that moment, they're all in the present time. So they're all available, but so is everybody else's series of lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
All possible realities exist in that higher dimension. It's just the imaginal realm, really. You know, and if you open yourself up, you can access the entire thing. So you have really a great amount of data or information to source yourself with. There's no limitation.
I see. Can you tell us a little bit about the concept of the book frequency in terms of when you wrote the book? You know, obviously you were focused on the vibration or the speed of the way that we perceive life or our bodies. Can you tell us a little bit about it so our audience is clear?
Well, I was interested in the transformation process and what was really happening to us. And I was aware of the acceleration of energy and consciousness and that it was affecting our bodies in a particular way. As the body increased its frequency, we would go through various symptoms of overheating or becoming too electrical or the heart beating and pounding and not able to sleep and things that we were trying to adjust ourselves to a higher vibration in the physical world. And the first attempt at that can be quite disturbing. And I outlined a whole process of, I simplified it into 9 stages that we go through with transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first piece. And then the whole idea that you can start working with vibration to change your life. So I put forth the idea that we have, when you look outside yourself, at other people or other places or whatever, you will often match your vibration to what's around you. And you're kind of like a tuning fork, you know, and especially if you're unconscious, you can match to things that are, you know, negative or lower vibration and kind of, you know, stall yourself. But if you're conscious, you can put your attention inside yourself and find what I was calling your home frequency, which is your own vibration of your soul in the body that's been there probably in every lifetime. It's kind of like the light in a baby's eyes. It's just eternal. And it is the way you like to feel when you're really happy being yourself. And it's your most natural state. So if you attune to that, the soul can come through, and you get guidance from a very clear source. If you tune into other people's energies, you can't feel your own, and you stall yourself or create blockages inadvertently for yourself. So the whole idea is stay centered, you know, get back in your home frequency, strike that tuning fork of your own vibration, get your body to align with it, get your emotions and your mind into the same frequency, and then your whole energy field or your aura around you will go into that same resonance. And then what happens is life starts to occur out of that, the new vibration in your field. And you get different kind of people, you get different opportunities, things start to happen more easily, you feel luckier. And, you know, basically it's an easy way to sort of ease yourself through the transformation process.
I see. So what do you suggest for those in our audience out there who are maybe around people that whose frequency is not what they consider optimum for them, yet they really can't change their environment right away?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, somebody that's working with you that you have to deal with every single day, and you can't just quit your job because of it, or a spouse that is always a victim. How would you suggest not only keep holding your own vibration, but also helping the people around you rather than resisting them?
I think that we have a certain idea that we're supposed to rescue other people, or that we need to change them so that we'll feel better being around them, you know, if their negative mood is down, and then we don't like to feel that way when we're around them. So instead of changing ourselves, we try to change them. And it's something we need to get over. It's not that we shouldn't help each other, but I think we're not responsible for each other's life or growth pattern or their sequence of learning. They can very well, you know, pay attention to what they need to learn in the time period they need to learn it. So part of it is just learning to back off a little bit and let people be the way they are, which also means that you let yourself be the way you are and you don't change yourself to please others so much. You know, so that's a first thing. And then the second thing is, I think we have to realize that we are accelerating ourselves in our own growth, and a lot of people are doing it quite rapidly right now. And our partners, the people around us, may not be growing as fast as we are. People are going at all different speeds. And it's not wrong. It's just that if you don't frequency match with the people around you, pretty soon you're going to get ejected from that reality because you can't stay in that field of vibration without totally sacrificing yourself. And at some point, the physical vibration that you have is higher than theirs, and something will occur in the reality and you will be ejected out of it. You'll get fired from the job for no reason or whatever, you know. So I think it's important to, you know, take inventory and really see, do I match, you know, are we on the same wavelength, really, with the people around me? Are these people actually my friends? Can I really trust them? Are we growing together? And you give people a fair shot, you know, and you talk to them and you say what's important to you, and give them a chance to make good decisions. And if they don't, then that's your cue. That's it. That's what they're doing in their life, you know. They're going to do it more slowly than you, and you have to let them. But it doesn't mean you have to stay there. So at that point, I think it is important to tell the truth and move on, you know, leave the marriage, leave the job, whatever it is, and find the next, you know, experience that matches who you are. You know,
good advice. Well, can I stop you here for just a minute, Penny? Because this is the time that Mark likes to jump in and do a little ad for the show. Are you there, Mark?
Sure.
Yes, I am. Just kind of hanging back. Beautiful questions. I love all the information we're sharing with everybody. You are listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. We are on. We have shows on all during the week and different time slots. And this particular show we run every Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30, where we bring on a author. You know, people who do all types of work in the field. And tonight we are lucky to have Penny with us. So you are listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find out more about our shows on our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And Penny, can you just go ahead and give out your website so people can find out more about you and the services you provide? And then I have a question for you.
Sure. Yeah, my website is just my name. So it's pennypierce.com. It's spelled funny, though. It's P-E-N-N-E-Y. And P-E-I-R-C-E.
Excellent. So make sure to check out her website. And if you haven't had a chance to pick up her books, I just got done reading Leap of Perception, you know, the transforming power of your intention. And before that, I was really enjoying Frequency. And Frequency is what led me to actually reaching out to her and saying, hey, come on, we want to come and talk to you. So I think one of the interesting things I enjoyed about Frequency was the way that you break down the dimensions and explain what the difference in dimensions are. And for me, you know, because I've studied with so many different people and I've read so much material, this is actually a personal frustration for me, because I think for every single person I've met, there's a different reference to what each of the dimensions is. So you can talk to one person, they'll say, well, the first dimension is this, and then you talk to somebody else, and they'll say, oh, the first dimension is that. And it's really interesting to see, you know, how everybody just has their own, you know, kind of way of looking at it.
I think we can get awfully left-brained about this, Mark, you know. And,
yeah, right?
And it gets too defined and too detailed, where really, if you just use your common sense, you know, and your experience, you know that we have a physical and a non-physical realm, you know, a three-dimension and then a higher dimension. And that's probably as enough as we need to really know about.
Mm-hmm.
And then frequencies within the non-physical world.
Yes. So, you know, I guess one of the questions I'd like to ask you is, you know, how did your abilities develop?
They developed by taking that class on clairvoyance, actually. Well, actually, it started a lot earlier with working with art and design and doing logos and reading people on, without realizing I was doing it, to try to see what logo would work for them, you know. But when I started doing meditation and visualization and clairvoyance work, it connected something up in my brain of that I could access things and then say it out loud and make it conscious, and then go back and access and make it conscious. And then pretty soon that process became very continuous, where I was almost like accessing and relaying continually, you know. And I don't think I stay in my left brain too much, but I do balance it between right and left, you know, where you go to the non-physical and to the place with no language, and you feel patterns, and then you bring that up and, you know, decode it, basically. What is this information here? And then you trust the answers that come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do, then don't lock it down, you know, and go back and get some more.
But I think trust is usually a really big topic for a lot of people. It's either trusting, you know, the answers you're getting, You know, sometimes it's trust and understanding that you're, you know, you're getting other guidance and, you know, being able to kind of understand that. And I think that might be the foundation of most classes on intuition, is really just paying attention and understanding and trusting the information that you're getting.
Yes, you do have to make an agreement with your deep inner self that you will trust what you get, and that you'll sort of have a set of criteria for judging what works for you or what's most appropriate. And I think that looking at it in terms of frequency, what allows you to stay in your home frequency, what allows you to be compassionate, loving, you know, clear, balanced, grounded, and inspired. You know, if there's fear built into an answer, then it's not fully accurate. It's only partial. You know, so you learn to feel those subtle contractions in the answers you get, and you can sense almost right away what, either something's missing here, it's not totally complete, or, you know, I'm projecting some overlay of my own onto it, until you get just a really almost like obvious natural answer, and usually that's just right.
Mm. Can you, when we asked the question about how you got started with your abilities and developing them, you started off by saying art. Can you talk about how the art was an aspect? Because I know a lot of people who are into art, who are into the creativity aspects of it, will be really interested to see how art in itself is a catalyst that kind of gets you into working on your abilities.
Art and creativity, I think, involve several processes. One is that you fill in the midbrain region with information about the senses. You're working with the, you know, direct immersion into life through the right brain, but you're also working with your body to have, you know, a direct connection with the flow. And that comes in through, gosh, you know, through vision, vibration, sound, tactile qualities, textures, smell, taste, and all those things of the midbrain region in the brain will open you to kind of an intuitive knowing, because each symbol you get, for instance, is loaded with meaning. You could interpret almost anything you get in a sensory way and make it meaningful. So art keeps you with that channel open, you know, and
wow,
it allows you to access and then to translate that from those right brain realms into something physical. So it kind of completes the circuits through the brain.
I like that. So, you know, is there, you know, maybe getting a little bit into the numbers, whatever, but is there so much art that you need to do to be engaged in that loop, or is it just a matter of just kind of being creative in that process every once in a while? Or
I don't think there's any specific number or anything. I think that it might be helpful to understand that you're being creative in a lot of ways every day that don't look like art. Like what you pick to wear each day, you know, or what food you put together for dinner. It's all creativity, you know, how you choose to respond to each situation is a creation, you know, and if you look at life that way, you know, you really do think of yourself as an artist at life, really.
Yeah. I really like that idea that you just said, and that is kind of looking at life and the way you handle things as kind of part of that process.
Because you're creating realities. Right? By choosing what to put your attention on.
That's true.
Yeah, Pam, did you have a question?
I do, actually. I wanted to go back to something that I felt was sort of the seed of light, something that you mentioned, and we went over the top of it, and it just seemed like such an important treasure that I want to go back to it for a minute. You talked about home frequency. Now, this idea of home frequency to me is a phenomenal sort of a foundation of magic kind of in my 3-year-old mindset. You know, this kind of little seed
that opens up lives, this home frequency. And many people call it different things, but for the sake of this radio show, let's use your words because I think they're good ones. The question that I have is, as you walk through life, is it important to guard what is around you, the frequencies that are around you? For example, your teenage son has a horror movie on in the living room. Your husband has the radio on with the news in the kitchen. You've got lots of different bombarding lower level frequencies that are happening around you. Is it necessary to protect your energy, or do you just let it come in and flow through you? What's the thought there?
That's a good question. I think of it more, not so much to protect yourself, but be uh-huh. conscious of your own home frequency and just stay in it as much as possible. And again, allowing the world to have the gazillion frequencies that it does have. You know, it's all there. It all exists. Now, but in your personal space, you have a choice to have a preference about the way you want to feel. And when mm-hmm. your environment is crowded with ugliness or negativity or chaos, that is very difficult to overcome sometimes. We all know that. It's really challenging to maintain, you know, the natural home frequency in the middle of something that seems overwhelming like that. So I think at that point, it's just like leaving a bad relationship at a certain point. You have a talk with your son and your husband, and you say, look, if you want to do that, then you need to do it in your room, you know, or we're going to have a common public space here in the house where we're going to have something that's nurturing for everybody, you mm-hmm. know, that we all agree on. Some kind of conversation like that so that everybody can do the things they want, but not to interfere with other people's, you know, harmony.
When you when you find that you move beyond, you know, let's say a relationship, and you notice that, you know, you kind of left that relationship because your frequency was changing and you were kind of moving at a certain space and you felt that wasn't a good fit anymore. How quickly do you think it is that you return to that frequency or return to your own flow of where you should be, if you want to call it that?
You know, I think these days it can happen fairly quickly, that we don't have to stay in mourning, you know, or upset for that long anymore. It doesn't mean that we're unfeeling. It just means that, you know, I think souls actually are very neutral. If they come together because there's some work or some shared interest or some agreement, and they do that, and when it's done, they separate, you know, no emotion. It's just the energy changes. And I think that's actually what happens a lot of times, is that our energy changes. Other people aren't going to go where we're going. They need to go their own way. We bless them. We still love them. We're friends. But you have to redefine the external relationship so that it matches the internal energy pattern. You know, a lot of people try to maintain the outer form of a relationship when the inner energy pattern has changed. And then it causes a lot of stress because the outer form is actually trying to change to match what the energy is doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
you know,
it does.
So if one person's growing and the other person isn't, you know, what's happening is that it's no longer perhaps a primary relationship, but it's becoming more of a friendship. And yet the people are still married and saying we're in a primary relationship, but the truth is they're not matched anymore.
Mm.
So
you know,
as soon
it
as you tell the truth
the...
about it, you know, it as soon as you say what it actually is, oh, we're actually in a friendship now, everybody is relieved and it moves on. And, you know, opens up.
Hmm. Do you think that there's any kind of situations or things that can actually keep you, like if you are deciding to move on away from a situation like a relationship, Do you think that there's anything that would keep your frequency, let's say, lower to where it was in that situation, like forgiveness or not letting go of something or not acknowledging the lessons?
That's, you just said a whole bunch of them. Yeah. I think that people hang on to, why did this happen to me? What was wrong with me? You know, all kinds of worries and negative thinking where they're just not acknowledging the truth and wanting to punish themselves or the other person. That's a big one. And or not getting the lesson of what it really was all about so that they can have the benefit of what the relationship was there for, you know. A number of things.
So if you're looking at that situation as a scenario, if you can't let go or forgive or whatever is necessary, is it possible that your vibration will never return to the frequency it's supposed to be at?
Well, there's no supposed to here. Your home frequency is always in there. It's you. It never goes away. But mm-hmm. we are cluttered by, I always call it wet blankets. You know, people have thrown over us all these beliefs and ideas about how bad the world is and how negative things are, and we bought into a lot of that, and it's like clutter. It keeps us from our own truth. So part of it is seeing those overlays and dissolving them so that we can just shine out. You know, we don't have to be any different. We just have to be ourselves in the most natural way. And I think, the worst case, I think, that's very difficult is parents with children or children with parents or siblings who are, like, for instance, drug addicted or something, or in abusive relationships, and the other, the one you're worried about is addicted to something really negative and you can't get them out of it, and you love them and you wear yourself out from it, and yet it's so hard to not love those people, and you don't stop loving them, but at some point you need to withdraw, like we were saying before, and let them have their reality or let other mm-hmm. people come in and help them.
Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of switch subjects a little bit. What type of work are you doing now? I mean, you just came out with the book, just an incredible book. Thank you. I think it brings so much
You're
light
welcome.
To the world. So what are you working on now? And, you know, as an example, are you doing intuitive life readings? And if so, what are life readings?
Okay. The book just came out, so I spent the last few months traveling and doing trainings on the new material and talks and that sort of thing, promotional stuff. And, yes, I'm doing a fair amount of private life readings. But I am moving this, you know, in a couple of weeks, so I'm taking August at least and maybe part of September to move and resume work, because I'm moving to Florida, by the way, from California.
Where in Florida?
Ormond Beach.
Ah.
Yeah.
I don't
anyway,
know where that is.
It's near Daytona.
Coast.
It's on the east coast,
okay.
Just north
okay.
of Daytona Beach.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm doing that, and probably will work a lot with the material from the new book for about a year, but I have ideas for other books, and you know, I want to get started on some more writing again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are life readings?
Well, for me, it's a process of looking at a person's life pattern and then seeing how things are likely to unfold so that they can move into their destiny. And most people come when they feel stuck or something's in flux or changing, and they can't quite see what's going on, or they have a mistaken idea about what's happening. And often, just by changing the context of things, just kind of giving a sense of what they're built for, you know, reading the deep inner part of a person, I can get a sense of, you know, new jobs or where things might go or how long it's going to take or things like that. Or if they're really at the end of a period of form where they've finished doing something, instead of jumping to the new form and saying this is it, they have to go into a process of no form, a process of going into the non-physical world for a while to stop, to rest, to regenerate, to reinvent themselves. And that has to be given attention, because if they try to skip over it, nothing will happen. They'll just repeat the old thing. You know, so
yeah,
it's all about the process of evolution for people, I think.
Yeah, I think I find in a lot of situations, at least in my own experiences, that sometimes so much can change as far as transformation that you can almost lose your identity and who you are and what's going on.
Well, and that's true, and that's almost what is supposed to be happening in a way. I think it's about ego death right now. You know, it's about letting go of old identities. And allowing the higher parts of us, the soul, to bring through new talents or to weave together things that we've done sequentially in the past so that they all come together in a new blending and suddenly, ta-da, you know, you have a new thing that you're doing. But it is about moving into that place of being and trusting and listening and testing and experimenting and not having to have it all defined by the left brain and just nice and neat and tidy, you know, because it's not the way things begin. They don't do that in the beginning.
So how has your abilities influenced your life?
I feel like when I started doing readings and opening my intuition, I felt suddenly like I had hit stride. And this is what I was here to do. And I felt like I was on purpose, but there was still this drive I had to learn more and round out, and almost like recalling a lot of old wisdom or knowledge. And that took many years of trying and blending every kind of thing I you know, could read about and do, and ancient mysteries and, you know, crystals and everything. You know, I did everything, you know. And finally, it's all rounded out, and I still stay very open and perceptive to what's going on under the surface of reality and stay abreast of all of that so that I can be that translator for people. Because I think that's a lot of what my life purpose is about, is to bring down very complex realities of into sort of doable physical, you know, descriptions that make it more common sense. So, I have a little more to do on that, I think, some more books coming, and then I may want to try writing fiction or something totally frivolous.
Wow. Do you have a question, Kim?
Can I jump in here for just a second? I do.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, something that you mentioned earlier, as it relates to our frequency, and basically, and also this leap of perception. And that is that oftentimes I'll go into two houses in the United States here, and the TV will be playing all the time, even if someone is not listening to it.
Yeah.
Now, I know this has become an issue for many people because it's almost like they don't want to be alone, and so this noise keeps them company. The issue, though, is that every other ad is a drug ad.
Mm-hmm.
Every other ad is saying, do you have diabetes? If you have this dialysis problem, if you've taken this drug, call this law firm. If you've done this, and it's, you said something earlier about fear dumbing us down, and does this information go in on a subconscious level and actually help to generate not only fear but the diseases that they're trying to eliminate?
That's a really good question again too. I love the one in particular. It says serious or fatal events may occur from I love that. Fatal events.
My 10-year-old says you bleed from every part of your body but your headache will go away.
Yeah. No, I think you're right in a way. It all has to do with being centered and being conscious of what you're perceiving. I talk a lot in Leap of Perception about noticing what you're noticing, being centered and engaging with the reality around you with your attention and full presence, so that you can look at those ads and listen to the tone of voice in the narrator and say how mesmerizing it is to try to, you know, gloss over all these ugly facts and you know, realize that they're trying to manipulate you. Or reality TV, you know, I mean, my gosh, if you never question that, you'll think that everybody, that sarcasm and meanness and cattiness is just fine, you know, and that's the way all women should be with each other or something. So we have to be aware, be conscious, be attentive, and use attention, because I think attention is going to be the most powerful force coming in the intuition age, which is, I think, what's happening after transformation. We're going from the information age to the intuition age, where spirit takes over, and the world works according to those principles. But the end times of the information age is that shift out of the left brain and the ego into the right brain and the soul. And there's, you know, ego death. There's a lot of struggle, and there's a lot of, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to control this thing, and I'm right, and you're wrong. And then there's a lot of the clearing of the subconscious mind, which is what reality TV is all about. You know, let's let all the ugly secrets from that we've always been able to suppress come up into our conscious mind and, you know, look at it. Except we look at it, but then we keep repeating it, so it kind of gets validated instead of cleared. So I think we need a new kind of programming, you know, to replace this phase of the negativity coming up. Transformational programming.
Just one last question before we end the show. If no one's read any of your books, what would be your recommendation on the first book they should read?
Well, The Intuitive Way, Frequency, and Leap of Perception, I have realized, are now a transformation trilogy.
Okay.
And so you could start with The Intuitive Way to get the basics, and then each one is a sequencing, an advancement of that. But, you know, a lot of the concepts are repeated in all three, so you could work it any direction you want. But I would start with those three books.
Sounds good. It's great having you on the show, and a great honor, and thank you for all the great work you're doing. And
well, thank
Pam,
you.
It's always great to have you on, so thanks for, you know, working the show and everything, and great questions.
It was a great show. It always makes me feel wonderful to be on it, so thank you.
thanks to you both.
All right.
Good question.
Good night, everybody.
Okay.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Spiritual Connections Radio.